that 4 minute stretch where they're clicking, they went on like a 10-2, and they came out of the locker room pretty well. But they hit shots. They, Keith, their guards control games, which is one thing that scares me about them, because they could go far with their guard play, Keith.
Oh, I wouldn't want to catch, man. That's why, even though everybody's like, ooh, Wichita State may not make the tournament. Wichita State will make the tournament, and nobody's going to want any part of them. When you've got guards that good, I mean, you want to play against Tyler Ulis, Fred VanVleet. Those guys, nobody wants to play against teams with those guys at point guard.
And that's what they did tonight. That's what Kentucky did when they spurted the game on us. And it was almost like it was so quick. It was like the blink of an eye. It's the only way I could describe it to you, Dustin.
If you've got two really good point guards, that'll carry a team pretty deep.
Yes.
Well, and Kentucky's actually playing three guys that, I'm not sure Ulis is an NBA guy just because he's so small, but they've got three guys that if Ulis makes it, they'll have three guys playing point guard in the NBA in a couple of years on the same team right now. Briscoe's a point guard.
Yes.
Murray at that level is a point guard. They're all point guards.
I'm going to the game Saturday. I'm kind of down and out about the basketball season this year. I'm really down about it. But can you give me any hope for next year? I mean, I know we got some pretty good, decent players coming in, but can you give us any hope for next year? I mean, gosh, I'm really down.
We want to make the NCAA. In other words, you want to make the NCAA tournament. You want to make the NCAA tournament is what you're saying.
So you want to make the NCAA tournament next year?
Yes, I do too.
Robert Hubbs actually grows up, and
thank you for the call.
Either we get a good senior transfer in the post, or Omar Yurtseven. If Omar Yurtseven signs here, Tennessee's in the Sweet 16 next year. Just telling you, he's that good.
I call him Turkey.
He is legitimately. I mean, he's Domantas Sabonis, Enes Kanter. He's those guys good. He's that good.
CC Hoop says he's got a Admiral Schofield and Fulkerson at 6'8", 190. That ain't going to work. I mean, they got to get some size for next year.
Oh, no, he'll be.
They got to get some size. They've got to get some size somehow.
He'll either be. Well, yeah, but Fulkerson will either be 220 next year or he'll redshirt. I mean, you're not going to play him next year at that. And Kyle Alexander will be a competent SEC post next year. The problem is, you got to find somebody to play next to him.
Correct. Back to the phones we go.
Yurtseven. What language do they speak in Turkey, Tony? Arabic?
I don't know. Maybe I'll go on Periscope later.
We need to figure out what it
study
is.
The,
we
study
need,
the Turks.
We need to start talking to that guy and get him over here.
Get on Periscope later, Hafa. Maybe you can Periscope with him. Hey, Turkey.
I was on Periscope earlier.
Let me say this. Let me talk right to him. Hey, Turkey.
Well, that's going to help. Yes, what are you, Turkey. That's going to help.
We want you. Like Jack's Lynx and whatnot. To our next call in. Oh, they speak, Byron 865 said they speak Turkish. In Turkey. They speak Turkish.
Well, that makes sense, but I did not know that Turkish was an actual dialect.
Yeah,
if it is.
It is.
I need to learn it.
It's got very hard consonants in it. They say things like,
Hugo
Turkaloo. You can talk a little. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Don. What's up? Man of the hour.
Oh, yes. I heard. Yeah, Turkish is what I was going to say. I kind of remembered that from geography. Actually, I had a sales appointment tonight and thought it would probably be wiser to make a couple dimes than to watch the game, but I was going to come and get your take on it.
Did you make a couple dimes?
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
I know Don's always on the sale, Tony.
There you go. There you go.
But the other thing I was going to say, getting y'all's take on everything I missed because I haven't watched replay yet. Jake had his team scored 18 points Saturday, and he had 14 of them. So there's my
rundown. There you go. There you go. Barnes just needs to go look ahead and recruit all of our callers, children, grandchildren, everything, and we're going to be great in about 10 years.
That's right. That's right. He's 9, so, you know, he's got a few years to go. But what did I miss? Anything I've read in the Sentinels run?
The kids played. Don, the kids played. He turned the page tonight.
Well, good.
They went to Rupp Arena and the kids played.
Well, I've seen where there's, you know, just had a couple of them cold spots. I've seen where they went 9 minutes without a bucket.
That's it.
You just can't do it.
No. They came out of the locker room and got spurted on. And when you get spurted on, you're going to get rolled in somebody's building.
Well, it's just jump shooting. That's because we're a jump shooting team. Let me continue to say, give me Yurt Saving, and that doesn't happen.
Turkey.
You know, Keith,
what is your obsession with offending him, Tony?
I'm not offending him. I just want to call him Turkey.
Keith, I want
to... When he stands up next year and commits to Duke or Kentucky... I says, I would have gone to Tennessee, but for one guy calling me Turkey, I'm going to remember this.
You better watch it, Daylight.
Continue, Don.
Just saying.
They might better call Saul on you there. You know, I watched a little bit right at the end of that Duke, North Carolina game last night and stuff. How come we can't find, if nothing else, 2-3 white guys can stand up there and drop shots.
Well, their white guys are 5-star players.
There are only a handful of those guys in the country.
Yes,
they're not going to play in the NBA for very long, and they want to get their degree that can make them some money.
That's a great point.
I understand. I don't care that they're white, black, or pink. I just want to drop some dimes. It just seems like a Kansas or a Duke or sometimes a Kentucky can dig these
I got to say one thing about that, Don. When's the last time, I'm not going to get into a racial discussion. When's the last time Kansas had a good black player?
Really?
Kirk Heinrich, who's in his 10th year in the NBA.
Great player. Kirk Heinrich was
a great player, but he's in like his 15th year in the NBA.
Eric Pauley. The aforementioned Greg Ostertag.
Well, even Vanderbilt.
It's like Toxic Avenger.
Has 2-3 of those guys that can stand.
Yeah, the guys who played their way out of the NCAA tournament last night against Mississippi State.
McCaffrey.
I tell you what, it does my heart good to watch old Baldy lose.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me at all.
You know, I didn't get an email from Vandy Joe this morning either about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure. They're going to fire him, by the way.
Yes, I think.
See, everybody laughed a couple of years ago when I said that Tubby and Howland were both getting fired. Vanderbilt will fire him.
Yes.
They don't make the tournament.
No, I think he's been there too long.
They have to.
He's been there too long.
How many years does Andy Kennedy keep hanging around?
You don't cover for him now. That's one of Huggins' boys. Here we go, Keith. Go ahead.
Who's that?
Andy Kennedy.
Kennedy's made the NCAA tournament at a school that never makes it. So why wouldn't he still be there?
How many times have they made it under him?
Twice, which is how many times in their history have they made it?
Well, yeah, I understand. I know what you're saying there.
And if Chris Warren doesn't break his leg 1 year, I'm not saying Andy's had the greatest tenure in the history of the world there, but they're probably with perfect health 5 times in his tenure, and that's probably far better than they normally do.
As long as Sean King don't write an article about
the
secret stuff that popped up all of a sudden off of Kennedy's arrest a few years ago.
Wait a minute,
Don.
Thank you, Don.
I actually know the truth about that one.
He's making a Sean King thing. We don't care about Sean King.
We don't care about his
arrest with a Turkish cab driver. Thank you, Don. The guy was from Turkey. The guy was from Turkey that he has rub against. And the guy went yeet, like that to him, and he jumped, and he said something about the guy and about his car.
That's not necessarily what happened.
Wait a second here, though. the Sean King guy, Sean King guy, he's responsible. He's a good journalist.
It's rare that anyone makes me or Dan Le Batard root for Peyton Manning. I think I probably got to fall on Peyton Manning's side against Sean King.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Can you give me a Lady Vol update?
We edged out a win tonight.
All right. Bocolio gave me a he gave me a update. We was up by one late.
Yeah, we were struggling.
I couldn't believe it.
We eked out a win, I think, by five, and that team was 10-15 coming into tonight. In our building. That ain't good. TR, how was the watch party tonight? How was the watch party?
Man, it was outstanding. It was outstanding. Me and Bocolio got to, you know, drink our first draft beer together, and Hatfield had these hot chicks all around him. I mean,
no, he
Friday
did not.
Boy
no,
was...
he didn't. No, he didn't.
Hey, the truth is coming out now, Basilio.
Hot, it's not Hatfield anymore, it's Hotfield.
Oh!
You damn right.
Hey, can I ask you something? Why do the women, TR, why do they always love losers like Hatfield? No offense, Hatfield.
No. How does Dodd for Sweetwater go into that forum down the dial and then tune into this dial? I mean, how does that correlate? It's like Matt Crowder. I just can't wrap my brain around.
Did you just
wrap my brain around that, man?
Hang on a second. you just did like a false syllogism or something.
Well, I'm just laughing that the idea that Don telling 990 than us makes him Matt Crowder. I'm sorry.
How
can he be this like pseudo snooze and then just slide right into this and be and there's no backlash. I just don't understand that. Can you help me?
What backlash would you like there to be? What would you like me to take action? People can do what they want to do.
Yeah, I want you to take freaking action and put a freaking roadblock.
TR,
you want to
this side of the fence or smooth side of the fence?
Now, TR, but now hang on a second. Who would you now? I'm not comparing callers, okay? Because I think you're a Hall of Fame caller. I think if we did a Hall of Fame, you would have your own bust there.
Wing. See, I would have his own wing.
You'd have your own wing, your own bust, and maybe like a few audio tapes. They could push the button of some of the T-mails where you've threatened me, where you've cussed at me. TR, you cussed me out a couple weeks ago here on the air. Now, I love you, but you want me to ban Don?
I just want you to bring that, confront him. Confront him. Dude,
you cussed me
2 hours ago, you were talking to freaking LSU, Jimmy freaking, I have no pulse or no emotion.
Right now I'm crying.
TR, hang on a second. TR, you cussed me out. You were cussing me out. Uh-oh, the hot girls. Put the hot girl on, Keith. I want her to talk to TR.
I'll take another one in.
Keith, put the hot girl on.
I mean, you don't have to like ferry them back and forth, do you?
Keith, put the hot girl on.
I got you.
Put the hot girl on. TR, you want me to do business? You want me to tell Don? Now, exactly what do you want me to tell Don?
I just want to say, what other freaking life are you living sports radio wise? I mean,
so he's living like a double life. He's got a double life.
What
though.
Is? I mean, dude. We don't even want to go there with them. Why are you breaking bread with them on a regular basis and just, hey, Tony, hey, don't you and Tony hang out?
But TR, you cussed me out twice, two shows in a row.
TR, Tony,
yes.
You want us to, I think what TR wants us, you or I to do is bringing Don into a room and goes, have a seat. Chris Hansen style.
Like, shame him. Yes.
Have a seat. Why do you have a 990? Why do you have a Heather Harrington calendar? And why do you have...
You think we ought to do that with him, Tiara? Like, say, how many sports animal mugs do you own? That sort of thing.
Sports Fiction 6.
Man, I want to change the subject. I'm sorry. I apologize for cussing you out. I thought I'd make that plain where I'm sitting right at this moment, downtown,
hey, wait a minute,
the conversation on Cumberland Grill.
TR, I love you.
Hey, TR, you're not going to apologize for threatening to kick my ass?
No, he meant that. He meant that, okay. And I was cheering him on. In fact, next time we see each other, we need to kind of make that happen. TR, I really believe...
TR wants me in a cage at Starcade, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
TR...
This team can win the conference tournament. I believe if we get in a good, you know, whatever slot we get slated in, we can make a run in the SEC tournament.
Now, who are you mocking?
They're dancing.
When you say
dancing, just like the Jackson 5 in the background.
TR, do you want
a young Michael Jackson?
Do you want
dancing McKee?
Do you want tickets to the LSU game, TR? Because I want to put some in your hands. I want you to come to Sushi Spot.
TR, you want to sit with me at the LSU game?
TR, are you going to go with TR? Are you going to go with Hatfield to the LSU game? He just invited you. You have great seats, Hatfield. You've never invited me to sit in your seats, Hatfield. You sit on the floor.
TR, do you want to go to me? Do you want to sit with me at the LSU game, TR?
TR is stumped. He called to rip Don, and now he's... TR, are you there?
Don, did I hear correct? Don put two dimes on the big horse tonight?
Did he say that, Hatfield? Did he put two dimes?
I did not hear Don say that. I would be very surprised if Don's a gambling man. He seems to be kind of a very religious guy and a good man. I seriously doubt Don sitting around calling Jim Feist or Tony DeMarco for free picks. I'd be surprised.
Anything else? TR, did you? You never acknowledged Keith has invited you to the game.
Do you want to sit with me Saturday, TR?
Yeah, man. I didn't hear that. I'm kind of, the manager came up to me and said, I hear you all over the bar.
TR's getting screamed at. TR, okay.
And I said, I'm talking to Tony Basilio, and he said, okay, that's cool.
TR, I'll be at the Goalpost Tavern pregame. You're coming. You're sitting with me Saturday, TR.
That's unbelievable. TR, you text me later. I'll give you Hatfield's digits.
All right.
And then you guys.
Sweetwater Flash. Go Big Orange.
He's pretty much zeroed in on Don. He pretty much just called him a Sweetwater Flash.
You and TR just
made a date. Can you do me a favor? Nice. Can you GoPro that?
I'll see what I can do.
Periscope it.
I think I can probably pull some nonsense. Yeah. That,
poor hey, Don just it. Got hazed. John hey, R. John
hey,
R.
But,
R. tonight.
Hey, but TR told the truth tonight. What does Hatfield bring to anybody's bar that he is in? Yes.
You're like Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Exactly. And, yes, all my friends are drinkers. So
John Ard said tonight, I met TR tonight, absolute classic. So you have a fan in John Ard. Al Bundy just tweeted out, TR reverse scaffolding match, TR versus Hatfield. That's how it could end.
How is it reverse? What the hell is a reverse scaffolding match?
Z, Vol Colonel just said that TR is forever an optimist. TR, we have no shot in hell in the SEC tournament, according to our Vol Colonel.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I gotta give Vol Colonel on that. If there's some way, if this conference continues to just complete kill itself, you put LSU, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky all in the same bracket and put Tennessee on the other side, I can see us in the finals.
Texas Fan 11's referring you as Keith Hotfield now.
I've been called that before.
Wise old BJ, BHJ. I've been calling him Wise Old BJ all this time. His name's Wise Old BHJ. Says it's the best radio in Basilio history right here tonight. Brett Johnson said, TR, 5 exclamation points, hashtag brother. Somebody just declared on Periscope, Keith, that not only will we not win the men's tournament, we would lose in the women's tournament.
Not accurate.
Pretty close. Let's go to the phones.
South Carolina would probably be in the game.
But the key is, and I just banged my knee. Oh, God, it hurt. Right on the inside of my knee. Have you ever done that, Hatfield? Right here, in the, you know, in this studio where you have these sharp corners, the way this thing's designed?
Yes. The studio, the Raymere studio, is
God, it hurts.
Very well set up, but there are places you can really kind of gash yourself.
I want to look right into the Periscope one more time, and then we'll go back to the phones. Turkey. We. Hatfield, am I making you mad? Hatfield?
Are you making me mad? No, because I'm not so invested, because Ben Howland or Bob Huggins or one of my guys isn't coaching the program.
We want turkey. Let's go to the phones.
Oh, we've had plenty of turkeys on this roster over the years. Oh, you want Sean Sheffield and Michael Curry back?
That's such a great line off the top of your head. Let's get our next call in. They told me that medicine.
Where's Alonzo Johnson?
They told me that shot of that medicine I had earlier today. I was on the doctor for 4 hours, and they said, she said, it's going to make you act silly tonight. I said, oh, no. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't take meds. Like, I don't act silly all the time.
No. We want turkey.
All I know is Beer Money's reunited, so that's all I care about right now.
Whew. If Beer Money, they're in WWE.
No, they're still in TNA.
Say, I can't do that.
Keep themselves alive.
Let's go to the phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Raj.
Hey, Raji.
How's it going tonight?
Roger, do you think I had a deal with Don because he calls 990?
No. Don ain't got a problem with Don. With Don at all. How about Don? No, of course not. No, I don't want y'all saying that. I don't know why.
I wonder how Doc's going to be able to sleep tonight.
Well, they won, Tony. They're good.
That's my point. How about this? Perfect day in Doc's world. Doc is Don Larson. He's Doc Larson right now. Kentucky won. Tennessee basketball lost. And the Lady Vols won. It is a perfect day for Docky.
And the UT football team had guys arrested, so he's absolutely...
Oh, it's a trifecta.
Yeah, he's pitching the perfect.
No question. Yogi
Bear is about to jump in Doc's arms.
They are sliming. They're sliming Dave Hart. Dave Hart's getting slimed, right? What do you think it's like when Dave Hart rolls around those games? At those games. Wow. What do you think?
You know what I do with him?
How would you like to bug Deerstone's phone and hear what he says about Dave Hart behind the scenes?
You know what I'd do if I were Dave Hart?
I don't want to hear. I don't want to. No, we're not going to get ugly. We're not going to get ugly.
For the women.
You've been so good for the
women's games and let the light go dark.
You've been so ugly. I mean, you've been so good tonight. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm hot filled now. I'm just doing what I do.
I was happy with Keenan with the effort tonight. I mean, Keith, I'm going to say at least competed well, you know.
I agree with that. Like,
I was happy with that. And I know he lost the 10 points, but everybody thought we lost. Everybody thought it'd be a blowout, so I'm glad. I'm going to Tennessee pretty way around, you know. But before that, with our wise, you know, I'm going to give every effort, you know, at the end.
Raj, are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
You coming to the sushi spot in the morning?
Oh really? I'm going to ask you about that. I'm going to try to find me a ride.
I'm going to put a couple of. I'm going to put a couple of LSU tickets in your hands. I want you,
really?
Tony, we're gonna get Rajay an Uber account. Let's be honest about this.
Hmm.
We're gonna get Roger an Uber account. We need Roger to be able to go where he wants to go when he wants to go.
Roger, you ever heard of Uber?
No. What is that? What is it? What is it?
People show up at your door in fine luxury automobiles and take you wherever you want to go, Roger.
Okay. That sounds good. Sounds good.
I'm getting another sponsor, by the way, too.
Can I read something to you, Roger?
Is it good? If it's good, but if it's bad, I want to hear if it's bad.
I want you to be the judge. I want you to be the judge of whether or not this is good. Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess. Go ahead.
This is from somebody identified as Vol Storm online.
Okay.
Vol Storm said, double bonus, : Kentucky wins, Tennessee loses, Lady Vol win, # Doc's Dream Night.
Okay.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad.
I want Doc to have a good night, though, don't you? Doc deserves it. Doc deserves a break today. Doc deserves to have a good night.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, he hadn't had many this year in his play-by-play gig.
No, he really hasn't.
So, Tony, you're going to be at Sushi Spot tomorrow
in beautiful Powell and Emery Road. I want you, Raj, to come on by.
Okay.
Like never before, and I would like for you to get a couple tickets at that LSU game, and I'm going to make you a big old plate of fried rice tomorrow, Raj.
Okay. It sounds great, Tommy.
When you've gone to Sushi Spot, Raj, you ever had the maki?
No.
Or the tamaki?
No.
Okay. Roger, you usually get the rice. Last time you were there, you had like 5 plates of it.
Roger, you're not a big sushi guy, are you?
No, sir.
Do you eat raw fish, Rog? Would you try some of the tamaki tomorrow if I hook you up with some?
Yeah, I should try.
Roger, I promise it's good. Roger, I promise it's good. It'll change your life.
The tuna sashimi, Rog, I eat. It looks like watermelon.
Huh.
And brother, it tastes otherworldly. Ah, marron.
The salmon, the tuna, yes. Roger, come on.
The Basilio roll tomorrow will be on special, Raj.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Tony B, get Roger a Basilio roll on me. I'll pay that free.
Wow. How about that, Raj?
Keith, that's nice.
Roger be walking up the interstate tomorrow, Hatfield, to get there now. You've, like, fired him all up. Like, one day, Raj, I'll tell you this. One day, Raj walked over to Elidio's Pizza. It's like 2 miles from your house.
Yeah.
In the rain.
That bothers me that our listeners, or we didn't set up a better...
It was me!
What do you mean, Roger, listeners? A transportation system.
you're right.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Roger.
I had trouble getting to the Tony's. I get to go sometime. I had trouble getting a call. I can't get there, you know, exactly.
Roger should be there every time.
Hatfield's gaslighting me. That's great.
Keith, are you surprised Tennessee was able to compete with those?
If you told me we're only going to lose by 10 tonight, Roger, I'd have been stunned. Yeah. I thought they'd get blown out tonight. So, no, I thought that's...
Yeah.
I wish we'd had that effort Saturday, because...
Yeah.
We'd be in better shape right now, but... No, right. I thought, if they play that way the rest of the year, they're not going to lose a home game, and they might be able to steal the South Carolina game on the road. I think they might be able to beat Vanderbilt. I mean, I'm not sure tonight's effort wouldn't have beaten Vanderbilt, so...
Oh...
Go up, play hard, do what you did tonight the rest of the year, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Would you be impressed with him?
Absolutely. I mean, after the Missouri game, I didn't know what to expect.
That really burned the whole thing down.
Yeah, I was pissed. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And I've talked no basketball leading up to that game. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate some hoops. We're going to celebrate that a big star is coming in here on Saturday and that you're going to get a chance courtesy of Clarkey at Select Ticket Service to go. And we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, there have been
TR
sitting with Hatfield. The stars are going to align. Don's grandson will have a triple double, if not a quadruple double, in upper basketball.
His team will score 39 points, and his grandson will score 37.
Okay, that sounds good. And
dish out. He'll have 39 points. He'll have 37.
The basket will be an assist from him.
He'll dish out 16 assists and grab 12 rebounds. One of the greatest lines ever.
Let's
go to one of those Wall Street ledger sheets.
Like cookbooks. I like that. Not QuickBooks, cookbooks.
I can't leave. What's on with y'all?
You mean as opposed to usual? He didn't cuss me out tonight. I mean, that's something.
No, TR's back on the family. Roger, TR's back in.
Yeah, what are you doing, Rod? Are you trying to sow discord here?
Are you trying to get some heat? Are you going Tommy Rich Buzz Sawyer on us? What's going on here?
I heard you cut your Tony.
Did you hear it the night he cussed me out?
I'm not sure. I can't remember for sure.
Roger did because he was the caller right after he cussed.
Yeah, he said five Freddy to me like seven times. MFFFFU. And I'm just like,
wow.
Hey,
he thought he was cussing me out.
And then I went upstairs and Mrs. B looks at me and she goes, I go, do you hear him cuss Hatfield out? And she goes, what? She goes, he was dog cussing you. Dog cussing you. And I said,
All I wanted to do was fight me.
I said, what do you think we ought to do about that? And she said, I've been wanting to talk to you like that for years.
She kind of went like this. Get you some.
Hey, Raji, on the way out, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the sushi spot. I've been talking about this Kentucky game for 90 minutes now, and they beat us, and I don't like that. But I love you to death.
Well, thanks, Tony. I hope to see you tomorrow, hopefully, okay?
See you, bro.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Keith Hatfield on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Give me a final thought. You're on tomorrow from 1 to 3 right here on the application. Lay it on me. What do you have tomorrow? Do you know you've got Larry Brown on tomorrow? You've got Arkansas State's coach on tomorrow. What else you got?
Oh, let's see. We got Corey Gunkel. We've got Ron Higgins. Yeah, it's a good show. I would hope it would be a good show tomorrow. If the host doesn't completely punt it and make a mess of it. But I think I can at least hold it together.
Not to mention the producer.
No, I got producer's always there, man. I got great confidence in him.
He's in the pocket. He's like a great player.
He's in the pocket, yes.
Hatfield, thank you.
Hey, no problem, Tony. Always enjoyed it. Hope the audience enjoyed it. good effort tonight. I mean, this team plays this way the rest of the year. TR is not that far off. You get the bracket messed up in Nashville. Do I think this team could win that many games in a row? No, but they could at least make it uncomfortable for some people.
Thank you, Hatfield.
Good night, Tony.
See ya. We played Kentucky well tonight. I'm really proud of those guys. TR has us winning the tournament. Hatfield has us coming out on the other side of the bracket. And I don't think that shot affected me one bit that I had today or the medicine I'm on right now. I don't think it's affected me one iota. Not one iota. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and your Garza Law Firm and all of our great sponsors. TR thinks we're going to win it. Cut the nets down. Hatfield thinks we're coming out of the side of the bracket. I mean, do we drug test at the Basilio Radio family? Or congratulations to my Lady Vols tonight, victorious. Congratulations to the men's Vols for playing hard tonight, playing with purpose. They got younger. That's good to know. I'm with you to live. I'm with you. Easy for me to say. I'm with you live tomorrow from 11 to 1. Check out TonyBasilio.com as well. We've got some interesting stuff for you in the morning. Orange Throat has a report and just a few other odds and ends as well. I've got a new salutation for Dave Hart. You'll have to see it in the morning. Mike Hamilton's salutation was, expect a win. What do you think Dave Hart's salutation is? Anybody want to guess? Anybody on the Twitter sphere want to guess what Dave Hart's salutation is? If Mike Hamilton's was, expect a win, what's Dave Hart's? Until we meet again. For all those behind the scenes, I hope you have yourself a hey, kind of great night. Mike, thanks again for taking a few minutes for us.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh,
and this concludes another edition of Book Corner. Another edition of Book Corner.
Peace and love.
You hear that unmistakable beat, ladies and gentlemen, that unmistakable sound, and you know that's the late, great Waylon Jennings. That's something from 84, as joining us now on the program, Michael Streisguth, author of Outlaw, Waylon, Willie, Chris, and the Renegades of Nashville. Michael, first of all, I want to thank you for joining me, and we came in there with a little bit of Waylon Jennings live, and Waylon's sound, it's so rock and roll. It's so accessible to so many folks, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think that's part of his great appeal. And his drummer, Richie Albright, called that sound a cast-off of the Buddy Holly rhythm, and Waylon, of course, worked with Buddy Holly back in the 1950s, and he really began to thrive in the 70s when he let that rock and roll flow freely through his music, and that's the Waylon that we know today. Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Oh, listen, it's wonderful spending a few minutes with you. In fact, I've got to tell you, I want to congratulate you on your work. I couldn't put it down. You know, I read it. I had a trip that I took across the country, and I brought the book with me. And it's funny. You read a book like this, and
there are a lot of people out there who love that style of music, love that kind of music, that era, that period. And there's something timeless about it, isn't there?
Well, there is. You know, I think that it's, that attitude never gets old. I mean, people like a little bit of cussedness in their music. Of course, as you say, that the music has never died. That outlaw sound, that outlaw music of that was so strong in the 1970s. To me, it sounds fresh. It sounds like it was made yesterday. There's just nothing dated about it. And a lot of the new guys in country, I'm thinking about Jamie Johnson and folks like that, Zach Brown. I mean, they're in my mind, they're reaching for that Waylon sound and that Willie Nelson sound.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, and I'm not going to pick on new country. Certainly there's different schools. I don't know if those guys find it because I... You know, it's almost as if these guys happened upon it organically. And your book talks a lot about that. Willie had some false starts to his career. Waylon had some records that just did miserably, though he had great promise. And those guys almost found themselves through the back door, didn't they, in the industry?
They did. And, you know, it was also, though, an industry that would be patient with artists. In other words, the whole 1960s when Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson are trying to find themselves, are trying to get their footing, they were on RCA Records. They were on a major label. And even though they weren't selling millions, the label kept them around. They didn't quite know what to do with the label. The label didn't quite know what to do with Waylon and Willie. And it wasn't until they had the time to start recording the music the way they wanted to record it. I think that sound, that timeless sound that we're talking about, emerged. And that's when, of course, they started selling millions of records. And, you know, to his credit, a former record executive said, you know, sometimes the executives really don't know the best next thing for an artist, but you got to let the artist take the lead. And when that began to happen for Waylon and Willie, that's when their careers took off.
Michael Streisguth is our guest today on the program as we talk today about his work, Outlaw, Waylon, Willie, Chris, and the Renegades of Nashville. And, you know, Michael, you've also written extensively about Johnny Cash. You've done stuff about the country scene at large, and you've done a ton of things. So let me ask you this. As you sat down and you started to work on this project, give me a couple things that you learned that you thought were really interesting that you learned while putting this together.
Well, you know, I think the big thing for me was really getting to know Waylon's music a lot better. I mean, I certainly have always been aware of Waylon's career and his hits. And, you know, to me, getting into the nuances of Waylon's music, giving it a harder listen, trying to understand it better, just gave me so much greater appreciation for what he was doing. I mean, with Waylon, so much of it was the image. You know, he was the swaggering outlaw guy who, you know, who really seemed like he might be an outlaw. The long shaggy hair, of course the arrest for cocaine in 1977. But he was really a sensitive, you know, on the ball musician, who really, I think, pushed out the barriers in country music. So that was huge. And I got to tell you, it was the movie Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges that inspired me to write the book. I mean, to me, Jeff Bridges seemed so much like Waylon Jennings in that film. And Waylon, by the time that film had come out, I mean, Waylon had passed maybe 7 or 8 years before. And I was thinking to myself, you know, Waylon is fading somewhat from the national consciousness. It's not like J. Johnny Cash is bigger today than he was when he was alive. And so I began to pursue a Waylon Jennings biography, and that's how it kind of spread out. It opened up into this whole outlaw story. So that was instructive for me. And I have to say, as far as other surprises, the fact, and this gets us over to Kris Kristofferson, who really helped revolutionize songwriting in Nashville. Bob Dylan came to Nashville to record in the mid-1960s, mm-hmm. and Kris Kristofferson had arrived just out of the Army, and Kristofferson was pushing a broom in the studios of Columbia Records. He was making a few bucks an hour as a janitor, and Kristofferson is in the studio working when Dylan comes to Nashville to do his first album, Blonde on Blonde. And it just, what a great moment. You got this guy, Kristofferson, who actually brings kind of a Dylan vibe to the recording scene, to the songwriting scene in Nashville, actually there when Bob Dylan comes to Nashville for the first time to record. I thought that was very interesting.
I did as well. Another thing I thought was really interesting as well about the book was how it was set in Nashville, but these guys all sort of came to fruition and struggled and paid their dues at a time of, as we know in our country, great unrest, but even at a time where down there in West End, the Bohemian scene, a lot of the things that were going on, you really paint the picture there of a culture that helped grow these guys in a lot of ways, into the musicians and to some degree the poets and the artists that they became. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out, because I don't think Nashville gets credit for being an incubator that nurtures talent. I mean, it seems to be painted as the industry town that turns artists into stars. And while that's true to some extent, there was this great scene, as you point out, in the West End that began to emerge in the late 1960s, and it had everything, for example, that Greenwich Village had in New York. A university, Vanderbilt, a big park, Centennial, where people could hang out and play music, cheap rents, diners, clubs, you name it. And so this bohemian atmosphere rises up, and so many people, young people, were flocking to that scene. I mean, these were students at Vanderbilt, but also young songwriters and musicians who had heard that Dylan recorded in Nashville, that Neil Young recorded in Nashville, that the Johnny Cash Show, which many people were sitting home and watching on ABC, was staged and produced in Nashville at the Ryman Auditorium, that all these bluegrass bands that were showing up at universities all across the country in the 1960s, as kind of part and parcel of the folk revival, were based in Nashville. So there was this aura really about Nashville. It was every bit as creative as Greenwich Village or the Haight-Ashbury district in San Francisco. And you're right, there is a studio, it's run by Tom Paul Glazer. He called it Hillbilly Central. It was the Glazer Sound Studios. And Tom Paul Glazer had been around country music for a while, but it also kind of conformed to this anything-goes bohemian vibe in the West End. And, the place was open all day and all night, and there was a free and easy kind of vibe. And Waylon negotiated a contract with RCA that let him record wherever he wanted to record, and he chose Tom Paul Glazer. And it was that vibe, that free and experimental vibe that really helped Waylon wake up. And And also Willie Nelson. I mean, people recall Willie Nelson hanging out on the lawn outside of the Glazer Brothers studio. Willie was playing at clubs. Kristofferson hadn't happened yet as a songwriter and an artist, but he was traipsing the sidewalks and soaking up the scene, and then going home and writing all about it. So when you hear Sunday Morning Coming Down, or To Beat the Devil, these are songs, big songs by Kristofferson. That's all from his experiences living in the West End, and so that to me was that was just about the most fun I had writing the story. One, because the story has not been told to a great extent, and two, I just met so many interesting characters who were living in that world back in the late 60s and early 70s.
And your writing, as is the case with folks who are gifted,